that's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Oh God, please don't deprive me a blissful life eternally.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
Good night to all listeners of Iran Radio. Coming to you from Tehran, we start off this hour's lineup with Economic Divide, which airs less than a minute from now. If you are interested in economic or business issues, then this program is definitely for you. The program covers the biggest business and economic stories of the day. After that, we have Keys of Life. The program aims to introduce an Islamic lifestyle based on the book Mafatih al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah Javadi Amuli. And finally, we round up this hour's program with Muslim Lady. The program deals with a variety of subjects all related to women. Stay with us for the next hour.
Economic Divide. The biggest economy in the world is not as big as it claimed to be, and it's not as resilient as everyone thought it was. Its warmongering foreign policy, along with the other warmongering policies of trade and tariff war, has taken a toll on its economy. Negative economic indicators point towards a slippery slope economic landscape. Hi, I'm Keresh Purnamati. This is The Economic Divide. Coming up in today's program, U.S. Economic Crisis 2025. Is the U.S. experiencing an economic crisis? That depends on who you talk to or what you read. We have concluded that it is, and we'll tell you why. Trump's economy is backfiring. Why is the U.S. president claiming the U.S. economy is doing well when many indicators point to it not doing well, like consumer purchasing power and inflation? Our third headline, recession fears, and things are about to get worse since there are fears of an economic recession. Amid instability and fear in Trump's economy, Americans are cutting back. We're going to be discussing those points and a whole lot more with Scotty Nell Hughes, journalist, political commentator and host, and also Garland Nixon, political analyst and radio talk show host.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was a great discussion. The current United States economy is really a reflection of what is going on across the globe right now. I don't think that the United States is headed into a recession. I think we were probably already in one, and this has been in effect for probably a result of what was going on during the Biden administration and the economic policies post-COVID. There is an issue with going on with President Trump and his tariffs, and it has allowed for a readjustment of the trade imbalance that had existed for previous administrations, not only with the previous one, but obviously several presidents in the past. And so President Trump has had to come in a very dramatic way and try to reestablish and rebalance the trade deficit, which had been occurring between the United States and so-called countries that were our allies and so-called countries that had been taking advantage, as the Americans feel like, of our economy and of our manufacturing system and our consumers for several decades now. Currently, though, I do believe that we are suffering through a recession, as you are seeing not only an inflation happening of prices, despite what the president is talking about, but this is also a reflection of what we're seeing in multiple countries around the globe. And as they say, the world, it is a small country after it is a small world after all. And so what we're seeing is basically a reflection of what the various instabilities of economies in countries across the globe, not only here, just in the United States.
One reason that the U.S. economy is not doing well is its consumer confidence. Here is a chart showing just that. Change from October registered at -6.8 and from November 2024 last year, a whopping -24.1. The consumer confidence index here shows the trend from 2020 onwards. It is pretty evident that this trend has been going down from a high in 2020 to where it is standing right now. Welcome back. This is the social section of the program. The first item that we've picked for you is the share of the population living in extreme poverty is now higher in the United States than in China. Take a special look at the share of the population that lives under $3 a day. China's poverty rate has declined while the U.S. trend has stagnated. The U.S. is going full speed towards a debt crisis. Interest rates are high, the dollar is weakening, and bond yields are skyrocketing. This is going to be disastrous for the families. 2025 is hitting Americans hard. More than 2.2 million cars repoed, heading toward a 3 million record year. 326,000 homes in foreclosure filings. Commercial real estate drowning, delinquencies at 7.46%, office over 11%. This is what real financial stress looks like across the U.S. No trade deals have been signed by Congress. No money from companies has been received. No foreign investment dollars have been received. The U.S. economy has lost over 1 million jobs in 2025. Manufacturing in America has declined.
Thank you very much for inviting me on the show. I look forward to coming on again soon. I would not necessarily classify what's happening in the United States economy or happening to the United States economy as a recession. For the wealthy, they have a recession at which time they are then able to purchase things for fire sale prices, as we say, at the lowest possible price. So for the super wealthy, a recession is an economic boon. During the traditional recession, the value of things in our economy, the value of goods and services, depreciates. If you're a wealthy person and you have a lot of money, you can then buy things at rock bottom prices. When there is the ostensible recovery, you then become even wealthier. So what has been termed a recession in our country has simply been an opportunity for very wealthy people to buy things at a rock bottom price and get wealthier. And in turn, for the average working class person, their economic situation deteriorates.
Americans are not buying as much as they used to, and the reason for that is because the prices have risen and they are being more cautious. And like when it comes to certain big ticket items, appliances, vacations, cars, and homes are just a few of sectors suffering from a lack of spending. Obviously, U.S. retail sales are where to look at, showing a negative trend in purchasing, as mentioned before.
I believe that the current inflation situation has a variety of factors, some which are built into the system and then some which are exacerbating a problem that's already built into the system. Number one, the United States never addressed the issues after 2008 of Wall Street theft and even the violations of laws that the banks from Wall Street were involved in. No one was ever held accountable. There was no issues ever, nothing was done to address those issues, so that just continued. So we now have some gigantic bubbles going on. Additionally, the United States has done something that is very detrimental that everyone knows creates two things that everyone knows creates inflation. Number one, simply printing money. That when the economic system does not create the actual money necessary to pay the bills, to cover the debts, and to cover all of the finances of the U.S. government, they simply go out and print more money. The U.S. foreign policy, or should I say the U.S. war policy, is also inflationary. When government spending in and of itself can be very positive for an economy, if a government invests into an economy, there can be a multiplier effect. we're in, our government puts $100 into the economy, but if it's put into productive areas of the economy, that $100 can generate $150 in actual return for the economy. However, when that money is put into the military, it again is inflationary. If you build a infrastructure, roads, things of that nature, well, people can use those roads. Businesses can use those roads to transport goods. Mines, etc., can use the roads. Those roads can be used to make money. And additionally, people have to build the roads. People have to service the roads in the long term. So money will be invested as a result of those roads. It's an investment in infrastructure. Whereas if you build a bomb, there's only two things to do with that bomb. Either you can store it somewhere or you can drop it somewhere and blow it up, and then it has to be replaced, which means that the bomb brings no multiplier effect back into the economy. It simply is built and then it's gone.
Welcome back. This is the InfoNews section of the program. The first item that we've picked for you is U.S. blackmail. Senior EU official accuses U.S. of blackmail in trade talks. Washington requested watering down rules targeting its tech giants in exchange for tariff relief. Europe should reconsider their digital regulations to be more inviting to our big companies if it wanted a deal on steel and aluminum. The next item is the RIC alliance. Russia, India, and China is reshaping the global order by dismantling corporate monopolies and building independent economic alternatives. Financial shift. The U.S. dollar's share in BRICS reserves dropped from 70% in 2000 to 40% in 2023, with RIC favoring national currencies. Our special investigation revealed that over 20 years from 2003 to 2023, China's GDP grew tenfold, India's sixfold, and Russia's fourfold, outpacing Western economies stuck at 1.5 to twofold growth. This economic surge highlights their strategic shift away from Western dominance. Now, the next item is IOF in crisis, manpower crunch, and spiraling costs. As Israel prepares for potential multi-front wars of attrition, the IOF faces a severe manpower crisis and massive rearmament costs. Key challenges: 600 carrier officers requested early retirement, vast munitions and interceptor stocks depleted. Pre-October the 7th, a security model now is obsolete. The next item is Apple gets sued. U.S. group sues Apple over DR Congo conflict minerals. The accusation is using minerals linked to conflict and human rights abuses in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or the DRC, and Rwanda, despite Apple's denials. The U.S. economy is showing signs of weakness. It may be heading into a recession, but the U.S. President Donald Trump is painting a very rosy picture here. But the reality on the ground, the indicators are saying that the U.S. economy may be heading to inflation or more unemployment. In this in-depth section, we are going to cover that for you. Let's take a look at one negative, you know, indicator in the U.S. economy, and that is the U.S. unemployment rate. It has climbed to 4.4% in September. That is the largest level since October 2021. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate for college graduates over 25 is rising even faster and is higher now than any year since 2014. That is while job growth in the past 3 months is the lowest since 2010. Now, when it comes to job cuts, almost 1.1 million have been cut or lost through October 2025, the highest total since 2020. Sectors affected are government, tech, warehousing, and white apparel, and transportation saw sharp declines. Transportation and warehousing shed more than 95,000 jobs, while manufacturing lost another 6,000 positions, with retail and services suffering losses as well. Now comes the inflation. Annual inflation in September reached its highest level since January, confirming that prices are accelerating at their fastest pace of the year. The typical American household now spends $208 more every month just to purchase the same basket of goods and services as a year earlier, and more than $1,000 more per month compared with early 2021, when the nation was emerging from the pandemic. Now, let's bring in our guest, Scotty Nell Hughes, journalist, political and commentator, and host. My question, Scotty, even though the U.S. economy appears to be growing, a small handful of companies are propping up that U.S. economy. GDP growth here is overly reliant on one sector and one sector only, and that is AI. One example is NVIDIA here with around $5 trillion market valuation. And the numbers are going up in a small part because these companies keep investing in each other. Now, my question, are AI and tech companies then fueling the minimal economic growth?
There is no doubt that AI is going to present a huge opportunity, not only for the American economy and growth, but an entire global economy. It is definitely something that's going to be dominated. And those countries that are utilizing AI from the very beginning and seeing those opportunities rather than just dismissing them are going to be ahead of the game and definitely going to be leading in this technology. Now, when it comes to AI and the economic benefits from it, well, you know, companies in the United States as well as around the world bring in AI to make it more efficient, to make their companies more mainstream, mainlined, and to make sure that they're more productive. That can be a positive. But where do the human workers come into that? Because obviously AI, while you pay for the additional technology, you don't have to deal with some of the other costs that goes into having a human employee that can be replaced by AI. That is where I think that the governments like the United States right now and others can get ahead of this to make sure that we are still getting money put into the economy, even though some of the jobs that are being replaced by AI technology. AI sectors are going to continue to grow. And I think that it's one thing for a country to just dismiss it, but I think it's another if countries begin working together to develop the technology, such as the Trump administration has embraced, where Biden pushed off. I think Trump said, nope, this is going to happen now, and I'm going to figure out a way to work with other countries, to work with other technologies, and to make sure that AI doesn't put the American worker or other workers out of a job. More importantly, that we build an even stronger economy based on this AI technology that's going to continue to develop whether we like it or not.
Now, this set of data is also pretty alarming. Currently, 82% of the U.S. population lives in regions experiencing an economic recession, the highest share since 2020. The analysis uses the Fed Beige Book, a report published 8 times a year based on anecdotal information gathered from businesses, economists, and market contacts from 12 Fed districts. The percentage has doubled since the beginning of 2025. Over the last 20 years, only 2008 and 2020 saw such a large share of the country in recession. Meanwhile, the latest Atlanta Fed estimate for real U.S. GDP growth in the third quarter of 2025 is positive 3.9%. What is happening here? Another shocking aspect of the U.S. economy is that even though it appears to be growing, a small handful of companies are propping up that economy. GDP growth is overly reliant on one sector, that is AI. One example is NVIDIA, with around $5 trillion market valuation. And the numbers are going up in no small part because these companies keep investing in one another. There is one company for the richest 10% and another for everyone else. The proof that the U.S. economy doing badly is when the Federal Reserve decided to cut interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point from 4 to 3.75%. This signaled a pivot to print money known as quantitative easing. quantitative easing, or QE, is a monetary policy action where a central bank purchases predetermined amounts of government bonds, company shares, and other financial assets in order to artificially stimulate economic activity. This ultimately means more inflation. Now, President Donald Trump's tariff strategy has touched almost every corner of the economy. His sweeping tariffs took a toll on trade in August as imports of goods and services dropped 5.1% to $340.4 billion. The U.S. economy contracted at an annualized 0.3% rate in the first quarter. It's the first contraction in 3 years, a sign that the economy was losing momentum even before the highest tariffs took effect. Now, to cap off our in-depth section, we decided to use two AI engines, ChatGPT and the Chinese model DeepSeek. We went for these two AI models to erase any notion of us being biased or just out of curiosity's sake. So let's take a look at the first one. The question, is the U.S. experiencing an economic crisis? The answer is the U.S. economy is under pressure and showing signs of weakness. Where the stress shows or the potential trouble, growth is slowed down, inflation remains stubborn, labor market cooling, consumer sentiment is spending, and confidence are eroding on even impact across the states and groups. For the next slide, we talk to the DeepSeek model, the Chinese model, as you can see right here. Is the U.S. experiencing an economic crisis? The U.S. is not currently in a widespread economic crisis, but it is navigating a period of significant uncertainty and a slower growth with several prominent risks on the horizon. Trade and tariff policies, tighter immigration policies, policy uncertainty, growth expectations. JP Morgan Research has reduced its probability of a recession to 40%. Deloitte's baseline forecast sees GDP growth slowing to 1.4% in 2026. Now, let's bring in our guest, Garland Nixon, political analyst and radio talk show host. Garland, my question, we just asked AI to review the U.S. economy, and all signs are not that positive. In our research, we came across how one sector is propping up the U.S. economy, and that was tech companies like NVIDIA. Is that even possible? Is the U.S. suffering in all of the other sectors?
I would argue that the increase of market cap, the increase of investment into the tech companies are fueling the illusion of economic growth. What we're seeing is effectively, if I were right now a homeless person and I had actually $0 and I stood next to Elon Musk and I said, between the two of us, we're worth an average of $200 billion. Well, what that means is he's worth $400 billion and I'm worth zero. But in average numbers, we average out $200 billion each based on the number of people.
The U.S. economy is experiencing growing pains. It is still a rather growing economy when it comes to its output, but as our research and even our AI search indicated, the economy is slowing down. The first quarter will be very telling where the U.S. economy is heading to, especially the result of Trump's tariffs, which at this point has taken a toll on the U.S. economy. I'm Kiarash Punameti, and I'll see you next week.
morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers, sisters, listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi. Previously, we were discussing government, leadership, and governors in general, and we were discussing what kind of traits and qualities those who rule and put themselves in the position of leadership must have. One of the things that we said that they must have is that their doors need to be open to people. They need to make it easy for people to access them and convey their problems and their needs to these leaders of those who are in power, and not to place obstacles, 1,000 doors that they have to go through before they get anywhere near them, which is what we see today. To speak to someone who's in power, that's almost impossible these days. You have to go out of your way to get to someone even close. That defeats the purpose of leadership. When we look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Imams alayhi wasalam, beginning with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi wasalam, he himself used to go out to people. He himself used to speak to people. He himself used to tell them what they need. So he doesn't wait for them to come to him. Rather, he would go to them. And therefore, we see a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, the Imam saying that when a person takes control of the affairs of people, فَعَدَلْ, he's just, وَفَتَحَ بَابَهُ, and he opens the door to people to come and speak to him. وَرَفَعَ سِتْرَهُ, again, he does not place barriers between him and people. And then he sees what people need. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a covenant upon himself that this person on day of judgment, Allah will not scare him. Obviously, with all the, you know, things that happen on day of judgment. And he will admit him into heaven. So this is one of the things that we said that they must have. Two, to purify themselves. In terms of tazkiyatun nafs, they have to do a lot of purification when it comes to who they are. Obviously, when we're talking about tahdhibun nafs or tazkiyatun nafs, where one needs to purify his soul and his nafs, which means to get rid of all the bad traits, bad characteristics, sins, and then replace it with a lot of good. And people need that. Me and you and I, we need these things. We need to do that on a daily basis. But the rulers, they need that the most. Why? Because people look at them. And when they do something, people are bound to copy them and imitate them at some point. If the ruler is doing something bad, people will say, well, he is doing it. I might as well do it as well. If they see the ruler doing something good, then maybe they will also do the same. Now, let's take a short break, and then we will come back.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is
on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جندش کم داره و اینه که فرون درختکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام همونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program of Fatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. So we said the ruler needs to begin with himself in terms of education, purification, before he asks people to do such an act. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi in a hadith, he says, من نصب نفسه للناس إماما فليبدأ بتعليم نفسه قبل تعليم غيره. Whoever places himself in a position of leadership to people, then let him begin by teaching himself before teaching others. وَلْيَكُنْ تَأْدِيبُهُ بِسِيرَتِهِ قَبْلَ تَأْدِيبِهِ بِلِسَانِهِ. And let him begin by changing his ways. So, not by talking, he said, not by telling them what to do. If people see me doing certain things, people will learn much faster, much quicker than me telling them what to do. If I want to teach a child to pray, I can tell him to pray for 1,000 times. Maybe he'll never listen to me. But if a child sees me pray every single day, at some point, he will come and try to imitate me. And we see this with our children. Same thing with the leaders and those who are in power. They have to keep this in mind. And then the Imam says, وَمُعَلِّمٌ نَفْسِهِ وَمُؤَدِّبُهَا. He has to become the teacher of his own self and the one that teaches it all the good traits. أَحَقُّ بِالْإِجْلَالِ. The one who teaches himself and behaves himself and purifies himself is more deserving of being honored من معلم الناس ومؤدبهم than he who teaches people, I should say, and try to educate them. So there are teachers, educators out there, and there are those who educate themselves. The Imam says he who educates himself is more worthy, more honored than the one that teach people, because those who teach people, maybe they're teaching people just for the sake of money, maybe just a trade, he's just doing a job. Whether people accept or not, that's not his problem. And maybe the teacher himself, wherever he teaches, it doesn't mean that he applies. So when it comes to the rulers, they need to educate themselves first and foremost. Again, one of the qualities of a good ruler that needs to have is they need to hide the secrets of people. Not to go and say, oh, this guy said this and this guy done this and this guy done that, which what we see all the time, even on TV. Someone comes and say, oh, I've been told this is that and this is that. When I convey a secret to you, I expect that to be a secret. Especially for those who are in power, if I need your help in a case, I expect you to hide and conceal my case, not to make it as an example for other people and talk about it. Because obviously there would be people around me who know my case and they know that you spoke about it, so it's obviously going to hurt me more than helping me. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he sent Malik al-Ashtar, he says, when you deal with people, make sure you conceal their mistakes. So inshallah, we will leave it here and we will continue in other episodes to come of what a leader must have. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to dear listeners of Muslim Lady. More specifically, our salam and gratitude to women listeners of our program. Well, this is Nahid having the honor of being with you on this episode, and here with me, I have the honor of being with my very dear sister, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Well, I am so glad that we have you here, and we would appreciate if we could have a brief introduction of you as a Muslim lady.
Yes, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, thank you so much for having me. Then I am Tafilan Zainab Askari. I am from Indian Administrative Kashmir, and I've been living in Qom for some 10 years studying Islamic studies, and it's been some past 2.5 years that I've been researching specifically on women topics, and especially what are the Islamic perspectives about women, and I've also been writing about it.
Great.
For quite a time now, yeah.
Thank you, sister. It's an honor to be with you. Well, today, sister, we are going to talk about the social media advertisements, and more specifically, the way they are affecting the women and the way women are chasing beauty for the sake of the pleasure they might get after just like seeing some so-called role models, so-called models of beauty. So what will happen? Let's start by this question. What will happen if from tomorrow we say the social media ads are going to be omitted from the world? Will women still be in the chase of beauty or not?
If the mirrors were blind, if the camera shuttered closed, and if no ads whispered you're not enough, would women still paint war on their faces before facing the world? No. Much of the modern obsession with appearance is not born from within a woman. It's forced upon her like a second skin through the same advertisements, through the same social media, through the same, you know, the cultural war we're going through. Because every ad tells her that you're not enough, you're too dark, you're too old. Every scroll reminds her that you're not perfect. Yeah, every trend screams change.
Yeah, you need to be different. You need to look like the models that we are showing you.
Right. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنَ الْتَقْوِيمِ. Indeed, we created humans in the best form.
So right. The shape of a woman is already acceptable, though what we are seeing from the social media, from the advertisements, of
right.
course.
He did not, when he created you, he did not forget to put your nose. He did not misplace your skin. He did not form you with some other stuff and someone from some other stuff. So like, I don't know, we would say like he created someone from some brand product and someone right. from lower brand product. Yeah. So it's not like that. He is the all wise. He created everyone with the, you know, is with his wisdom. So yeah, if those ads were to be omitted, I would say no. They would not, women would not chase beauty the way they're chasing it right now.
Now that you mentioned it, the matter of surgeries used to be like, in some cases, in the cases of disease, but the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created us was not with some diseases on the face or some disease in the beauty in a way that we need the surgeries. But we are still monitoring the cases we're seeing. So what is happening that we have all these cases and
cosmetic surgeries
for the cosmetic surgeries for women chasing some fake samples of beauty?
Right. So basically, it's like Islam permits beautification, but within balance. It embraces cleanliness. It embraces self-care. It embraces elegance, but to alter what Allah gave permanently and dangerously, especially, and for shallow reasons, it's discouraged. If not sinful, at least if it's it's something that's discouraged. Because the Quran quotes Shaitan's plan as well. And I would say that if you want to go for some break.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go for a very short break, and then we're going to talk about the reasons for having these advertisements. Like what happened that today every channel is advertising some beauty stuff and things that we also mistakenly sometimes consider important.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady. Well, we started today's talk by talking about the effects of social media advertisements and the way women, more specifically, though it's happening among men as well, but let's say based on the seek of beauty that is put naturally among women and the way they are into more details, women like to go for them more. Well, let's talk about the reasons by just mentioning this part of the verse in the Holy Book of Quran, that evil is promising Allah to make his creations, to make Adam, to make human beings, change the way he created them. Like, he clearly makes a stand against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, I will make this person that was the reason for me not being your servant anymore, I will make it change your own creation.
Right. So I was about to quote the same verse from the Holy Quran that you have quoted from Surah Nisa right now. It's in Surah Nisa, verse 119, that I will certainly mislead them.
Right.
And the verse goes on, and at the end it says that, and alter Allah's creation.
Right.
See? So when a woman changes herself, not out of healing, there's a very fine line that you're healing yourself and you're going for some shallow transformations just to meet the beauty, just to meet the fake beauty standards, right? So when you are changing, when you go for changes, not out of healing, but rather out of self-hatred that has been created through these advertisements, you're basically fulfilling a shaitanic promise, not a divine one. So let's not make our bodies the battlefield of the cultural war, right? Against our fitra, against our natural disposition. So it's basically a cultural war, and I think all women got to understand this.
Yeah, definitely.
And if we ask ourselves one important question, that is it really for me, the changes I'm going through, I'm going through under the knives, for those cosmetic surgeries and all, is it literally, is it that I'm doing this for myself or someone else?
Pleasure for me or not?
A painful truth is that many women dress for acceptance, not for expression.
So true. For the acceptance the acceptance of the society.
Right. They do not wear makeup for joy, but to be seen. We do not undergo the knife because, like, for some healing process, we rather go because society has made natural beauty a sin.
Yeah, that is so true. And that might be the reason we are having the cases of depression among women.
Yes,
too.
Of course. And we have been, for example, we have been told if woman is not looked at, she's not loved.
Right.
Right? That's the biggest lie they have sold to women. Right? And who sold it? The industries of insecurity, the factories of falsehood, the empires of, I would say, male gaze, right?
Yes,
but Our Lady
so
Fatima, salamu alayha, she never stood in front of men like that to be praised. We still remember the lady, her legacy keeps on going, but that's because
of... She has been the most attractive character of Islam.
Yes, without doing all that, without getting a trap of all this. And you also talked about depression. I would say absolutely the pursuit of beauty that we are seeing right now does cause depression, because psychologists, they speak of body dysphoric disorder, where a woman sees herself with disgust even if she's admired by all.
Yeah, so true. Well, let's talk more about depression and how it might affect women and how to be aware in order not to fall into these traps after a very short break. Ladies, welcome back. We are talking about beauty, the word that we all might like. Like, normally we like the word beauty, but has lots of things in it that might be traps or either of the guidelines for us. Well, previously we talked about this perspective of beauty that women might fall into depression.
Yeah.
Like among those who have done even lots of cosmetic surgeries, we see that they are not still satisfied.
Yeah.
Where is this dissatisfaction coming from? And how
because,
can
you know, why does not that satisfaction come, even if like going undergoing all those things? Because she's chasing a ghost of perfection.
You mean an unreal...
Yeah, because... And ghost does not hug back, right? So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a balance. For example, okay, even if you don't have that, even if you don't have what the standard of beauty is, first of all, I would say, like, you know, you ask what is... it's contentment is beauty.
Right.
Peace is beauty. A woman who smiles with truth, even with wrinkles, is radiant beyond the retouch. Okay? So this is beauty. And even if you don't have that, a poet beautifully says that, Har kisi ko mukammal jahan nahi milta, kahin zameen to kahin aasman nahi milta. Not everyone gets the entire world. Sometimes you lack the earth beneath your feet, and sometimes you lack the sky above your head. Even Quran says something very similar in Surah Hadid, so that you neither grieve over what you have missed nor boast over what he has granted you. So don't be like too much grieving, not too much, you know, overexcited for what you have or what you don't have. Allah does not like this. Create a balance in your life. So alhamdulillah for everything. You know, whenever we answer, like even when we are asked, like, how are you? We usually answer, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, so true. And the advertisements, what they are doing these days is like, if you put it this way, it's like they are making a dreamland for us to be considered as the goal, the aim, where we want to stand at the end.
Yeah.
But there is no end towards this chase, right? So what are some advice? What are some recommendations that you can give us as like in the very short time left for the episode? How can we be more aware of not falling into these traps?
Realize that it's not about your health. It's not about your body. The modern world has built altars to the body, that lips must be fuller, skin must be lighter, waist must be smaller. It's no way about health. It's about worshiping the self-image.
So
it's about getting deviated from the right path. Imam Ali Alayhi Salam says in a beautiful hadith, your worth is in what you do beautifully, not how you look like, right?
So
how you are apparently looking, or how what people say about you. Like Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, in the Battle of Karbala, when like everything was destroyed, yeah, she says, I saw nothing but beauty.
But beauty.
So what is beauty? Because beauty is not in form, it's in the purpose. We have to understand this. So my final advice would be the same thing. Find beauty in purpose, not in the apparent things, not in the things that are fleeting, right?
Yeah.
Your stretch marks from motherhood are beautiful. Your aging face from devotion is beautiful. Your hands wrinkled from service is beautiful. Appreciate it, acknowledge it. And so, like yourself.
So true. The way you defined it was so beautiful that made everything clear. Beauty is what we can find in proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the goal of us believing in this great creator and the purpose for our lives based on our religion's perspective. And no reminder is needed to be put that our religion is the most completed version of a religion for the sake of the betterment of life. I wish you ladies enjoyed our episode, and until another time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges.